When you live abroad, it's kind of lonely. So my characters made me company.
Welcome to Exciting Careers Podcast, where our job is to travel the world finding stories, habits, and tools to inspire you and your career. We don't need to be rich or famous to have an exciting career, but we do need to be making a difference in the world and to feel excited to wake up in the morning to go do whatever it is we're working on. This podcast is brought to you by MaxiCareerCoaching.com. And now your host, Mari Pimenta.
Paula, welcome to the show. I'm so excited about this because I've been talking about this podcast for, I think, 2 years now. I finally did it. I finally started. It's on Exciting Careers. And I'm really excited because I got to interview not only the best writer in Brazil right now, but also my cousin, who I love so much and I'm so proud of. Since we're doing this in English, I think we should just explain to the Brazilian clients and friends and your fans that the reason we decided to do this in English was because I don't live in Brazil anymore, and I also have clients that don't speak Portuguese. And because you are internationally recognized already with your books published in many languages, I think it would be a good idea for people outside Brazil to get to know your story. I always talk about you with friends, and they are so curious to know about your story. So I think this is a great opportunity. And I promise that I'm going to translate the transcript of this conversation, and I'm going to put this in the website in Portuguese. So the Brazilian people who have doubts, they can read in Portuguese, okay?
Okay, thank you very much for inviting me. And okay, let's try to do this in English. My English is not very good. I can understand very well and I can read, but when I talk, sometimes it doesn't, it's not very good.
It doesn't come out very naturally. I'll help you. I'll help you. If there's any word that you don't know in English, just tell me in Portuguese and I'll help you, okay?
Okay.
Okay. First, for people who don't know you, you know, who is Paula Pimenta?
Well, I'm a Brazilian writer. I published my first book in 2001. It was a poetry book. Mm-hmm. But my first novel, I published it in 2008. And this one was the one who made me famous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's Fazendo Meu Filme in Portuguese, right?
Yes, yes. We have a version of this in English for Kindle and Apple in the Apple Store and digital version of this. It's called Shooting My Life's Script.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, but I want you to tell them a little bit more about your background. Like, you know, how was it that you became a writer?
Well, I think I started to write since I was a kid. My grandmother, other day, appeared with a poem I wrote with 6 years old. I was very shy when I was a child. Until now, I am very shy, but I was much more. And I think writing always was an option to expose myself, to let people know what I think, because I always had problem to talk.
Mm-hmm. To express
That's
yourself.
It. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So I always, write was always natural for me. In school, my favorite classes was the writing classes. So when I was in college, I decided to follow journalism career. Mm-hmm. But then I saw that it was not journalism what I want. I want to be a writer. I want to write fiction. So I decided to give up of journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to write only what I really wanted to write.
Mm-hmm. And how was it that you discovered that you, you know, preferred to write fiction? How did you make that discovery?
My teachers at college, they started to read my texts, and then they said, "Oh, it is very emotional. You can't put your opinion like this. You need to be impartial." I don't know how to say this in
impartial,
English.
Like neutral.
Impartial, uh-huh. Yes. What I wanted was to put emotion, to give my opinion and everything. So it was when they asked me, was it a literature or chronic? Chronic, is it right? The name in English? Chronic?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I, not, in the college, I discovered this, that was what I wanted to write.
Mm-hmm.
Chronic, literature, and everything, not journalism. So it was natural. I just keep writing what I wanted to write. And when I wrote my first novel, Fazendo Meu Filme, that I see what I wanted to write for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of story.
Now, when was it that you actually wrote it?
2005. 10 years ago.
10 years ago. And I remember, was that when you were living in London?
Yes. When I was in London, I lived in London for 1 year. And I made their creative writing course.
Mm-hmm.
This course made me want to write more and more and more. I think the most important thing this course gave me was this inspiration to write.
Mm-hmm.
Not the things I learned there, but the feeling of I want to write. And then I arrived home from this course, and I wanted to write. And then I had started to write Fazendo Meu Filme in Brazil in 2004.
Mm-hmm.
But then in 2005, when I was there, I decided to finish it. And I could finish it.
Okay. Yeah, that's something I want to ask you more later. Like, how long do you normally take to write a book? But before we get into that, since you mentioned living in London, do you think that a lot of your inspiration came because of your trips? Or do you think it's not necessary for a person to travel to have this kind of creativity that you have?
No. I think we have less distraction traveling, because in Brazil, I was so surrounded by friends, family, teachers, therapists, everything to make my mind go in the other way. But mm-hmm. there, when you live abroad, it's kind of lonely. So my characters made me company.
Mm.
They were my friends. So I couldn't wait to meet them in my story. I tried all the time to make space in my schedule to write to meet them.
That's so interesting. So, yeah, so you really felt the presence of each of those characters that you created.
Yes, yes. But then it was the first book. Now it's my career. So I need to meet them here in Brazil. I couldn't wait to travel to write.
Mm-hmm.
I write whenever I am.
And I remember you telling me one time that Fanny, the character, the main character of your first book, right? You made a research. You made a long research. At that time, I'm not even sure we had Facebook. I think it was just Orkut in Brazil. And I remember you told me you made this really big research. You created a character that was her age, and you started interacting with kids her age. Is that true?
Yes, because I wrote this book mostly about the inspiration for this book was my life, my teenage years. Like me, the character is an exchange student. I was an exchange student, and I wrote this story about an exchange student. So I took the ideas of my teenager years. Mm-hmm. But I didn't want it to be a story of 80s or 90s teenager. I wanted to be in these days. So I made this research to see what teenagers of today were doing, like internet. I didn't have internet when I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. So I kind of changed the story to pass in these days.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, since you mentioned the exchange program, so is that when you first learned English?
Yes. Yes, that's where I learned English, because I didn't like English before my exchange year. I didn't have studied it before and nothing like that. I learned English talking.
Mm-hmm.
And then later in London, when I lived there for a year.
Okay. Did you know that according to the last British Council research, less than 8% of Brazilians actually speak English? That, like, they can understand, they can write, they can read, but actually 7.9% of Brazilians are fluent and can speak. Do you think this is true?
Yes, I think so, because most part of Brazil are, I don't know how to say it, but they don't have access to studies. So mm-hmm. English is like
a luxury. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's only
a
the
luxury.
Elite. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that's why.
Yeah. That's sad, right? Yeah, so maybe this interview in English can actually inspire some of your readers to improve their English, hopefully, right?
Yes, I hope so.
Yeah. And then, so you lived in the States, you learned English there, and you never, like, your English is so fluent. Do you travel abroad all the time?
Yes, I travel. As I said, I can talk in English. I know that I make a lot of mistakes because I never studied the grammar and everything. So I can't communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very well.
Yes, but I know that I have to study grammar. I have plans to go to United States to study in English to improve my English. Mm-hmm. I just need to find time to do that, but it's a plan. Okay. I wanted to do that.
Well, since you mentioned the United States, I'm going to go ahead and ask you because I think this is really interesting. You just got married, right?
Yes.
You got married at Disney World. So, mm-hmm. you know, can you tell people why is it that you decided to get married at Disney World? I thought that was so awesome, so different.
Well, it's because I wanted to live happily ever after. That's what I answer all the time. People ask me that, and everyone asks me this. Why? Well, that's because I love Disney World. I think it's the place, the happily place in the world. Uh-huh. I think everyone there, and I like this princess thing since I was a kid. I never lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted my wedding to be like enchanted.
Enchanted. Yeah.
Enchanted. And it's the place I like the most in all the world. Uh-huh. So when I discovered that I could get married there, I could do my wedding there.
Mm-hmm.
I have no clue that I wanted to get married there. And then I needed to convince mm-hmm. my fiancé.
Was that hard? And,
a little, but he likes Disney World a lot too. We have been in Disney so many times.
Yeah.
So when we talked to the families and they said they could make this trip, so we decided to go there. Yeah. Many friends couldn't go, but it was worth it. It was very, very nice and magic.
It was.
And different. And I could do this again and again. I could repeat this.
Oh, my God.
I have no regrets.
Yeah, I think the party was amazing. And I think it's great that you even got, you know, our grandmother to go. And the whole family had so much fun there. It was a good excuse for everybody to go to Disney World. And
yes, I think this is the other nice thing about this. Could we put everyone together in a trip like this, family and friends, only in an occasion like that? So it was very nice.
Mm-hmm. And I really think, you know, when I tell my friends about you, I tell them, like, Paulinha is she's a forever teenager. I heard this writer... there's a girl called Maria Popova. She has a blog called Brain Pickings. And I really like her blog. And I was listening to her talk one day at a podcast. And she talked about how she writes for herself. Because once she starts writing for other people, she loses the passion. So she writes to make herself happy. Is that the same thing with you? Do you feel like you write things that you would like to read?
Yes, I think this is the secret to write well. When I was writing my first novel, I wrote a book that I wanted to read. I didn't know yet that I was going to publish it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to read a book that I couldn't find in anywhere, so I wrote it.
That's great.
I think this is the secret to write a book you could buy, you wanted to buy.
Mm-hmm. And it's you chose a public. Well, you didn't really choose it, right? It happened naturally. But the public that you write to is a public that was kind of forgotten in Brazil, right?
Yes.
I remember when we were teenagers, all I can remember of was Monteiro Lobato. But like this new generation, I don't see many writers. I see you on TV all the time on these huge national channels in Brazil. And I've seen journalists telling you, thank you, Paula, for inspiring my kids to start reading. And so you've given these kids, this generation in Brazil, a great gift of the passion for reading. Do you think that maybe the number of writers who write for teenagers will increase? Do you think there's any reason why writers don't usually choose this kind of public?
Well, I think we had a time in Brazil that teenagers thought that read was boring because it was for school, because teacher tell them to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But now teenagers are discovering the pleasure of reading.
Mm-hmm.
I think Harry Potter and Twilight, these books had a lot of guilty in this, not guilty, the
oh, they were responsible, yeah.
Yes, yes. Since then, teenagers discovered this, that they can read only for pleasure. And I think it's always a book that is responsible for this.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that some teenagers tell me that my books are doing this part. Having this responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But I think now the publishers discovered that teenagers read. When I was looking for a publisher to publish my first novel, I had to heard that teenagers didn't like to read. Yes.
You had to hear it from them.
Yes, yes, yes. They told me that.
So that's a good point. Like, how long did it take you? What was the process like to convince someone to publish your book?
It was in the third publisher I went. The first one wanted me to pay to publish it. And it was very expensive. I could buy a car with the money that they wanted me to. Yes. The second one, they told me this, that teenagers didn't like to read, so my book, it was not going to succeed because of that. And the third one was the one, at the beginning, they didn't want to read it because they told me that it was not the target that they had in the... They didn't have any books for teenagers there. Mm-hmm. So I convinced them to read my book. So they decided to read. And in 1 week, they called me saying that they were going to publish. So the first publisher that read my book wanted to publish it.
That's great. Now, when you said that you convinced them to read, how did you do that? You have to teach people your secret so other writers can do the same thing.
Well, I told them it was not going to be only one book, that I wanted to do a series of this, that it was a story of an exchange student. And then they said, oh, okay, maybe a story of an exchange student can be interesting because we have research here that most of teenagers in Brazil would like to live abroad to study in other countries. Mm-hmm. So they decided to read because of it.
Okay. Now, from the moment that you finished the book to the moment that you convinced the publisher, this was 5 years? A 5 year?
No. It is... I finished it in November of 2005. Mm-hmm. And this publisher wanted to write in March of 2006. But they kind of... prolongaram, como é que eu falo isso? Remained.
Yeah, they delayed or stretched.
Yes,
that
yes,
time.
For 2 years.
Okay.
It was published in 2008, September. September of 2008.
Okay, that's something that's usual. They usually do that. They sign with you and then they take a while to actually publish it.
They, in the contract, they have kind of 2 to 5 years to publish it. So it is.
It's part of, okay.
Yes.
So it was really fast then. It was less than a year from the moment you finished to the moment you signed the contract.
Yes, but I have lucky. For example, J.K. Rowling, the Harry Potter's author, she went to 8 publishers. She sent Harry Potter to 8 publishers before she found one that wanted to publish it.
Imagine
this 8
yeah.
that didn't want to publish it.
No, because we saw in Disney World the whole park donated to Harry Potter. Imagine how much money.
Yeah, Universal. The Universal Park.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure we're going to have adult writers listening to this podcast. So I'm interested in the process since, you know, I'm always helping people improve their careers. In this process of writing and looking for publishers, what tips and tricks, you know, do you have to share with people who want to become a writer, a professional writer like you?
Well, I think the first tip is the one I gave before. It's to write a book that you wanted to read.
Okay.
I think it's the most important thing because when you do that, I have a thermometer. How?
Thermometer? Yeah, thermometer.
Is it right?
Yes.
Yes. When I, for example, cry writing a scene of the book, it's usually the part that my readers tell me before. I cried so much in that part of the book. Mm-hmm. So I have this thermometer for me. When I, for example, delay to write a part because it's kind of boring, I tell to myself, well, if I think this part is boring, imagine my readers.
Okay.
So I write again that part. Mm-hmm. So I think the first tip is it. Write a book that you like to read. Second one is read a lot. You need to read, you need to like to read, because it doesn't exist a writer that doesn't like to read. Mm-hmm. You need to read. I read every chapter of my books, I think about 10 times before I show it to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, it needs to be perfect before I show to anyone.
Okay, so what's the process like? You know, do you read the chapter after chapter? What kind of process do you follow?
I write chapter for chapter, and then I read it many times before I go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So the best to do, what I like to do, is to write a chapter for day. Because then I write a chapter, in the other day I wake up and read this again and again and again. I make changes and everything. But when I have
a deadline,
when the deadline is coming,
okay,
sometimes I need to write more than one chapter, usually 3 chapters a day. It's about 15 pages.
Okay.
For a day. So it's a lot. I don't like to do that. I prefer to write one chapter for a day.
Okay. And do you use any softwares or application? I've heard of an application called Scrivener that a lot of Americans have been using. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yes, I heard of it, and I try to use this, but it doesn't have a Portuguese version yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have a corrector?
Yeah, to correct your typing mistakes, your typos?
Yes. So it's a problem because I use Word. The software I use is Word because of this
feature of correcting.
Yes, because it's good. Because sometimes you miss a letter or you not only a letter, sometimes you think of the word and then you forget to put it. So when you see it, the software shows you
there's a mistake.
There's a mistake. So I tried to use Scrivener, but I didn't use it because of it. Okay. So I use Word.
Okay. And do you have writer's block? Do you sometimes like have no idea of what you want to write?
Sometimes. Then I need to reread the book at the beginning.
From the beginning.
And I think from the beginning. And it helps me to follow, to
reconnect.
To reconnect, to capture the idea again.
Okay.
And but sometimes it doesn't help at all. But then I need to go away from the story, and I watch movies or read books that inspire me. And then when I come back to the book, to my book, I'm inspired again.
Mm-hmm. And so how
and
long...
Traveling always inspired.
Oh, interesting. That's great. How often do you travel?
I love to travel. If I could, I was just like you, traveling all the time. and I can't, because when I'm in the writing process, I can write from anywhere in the world.
Yeah, I was going to ask you this.
Yes, but when the book is out, when it comes out, I need to travel to make a
book launches.
Autograph sessions. Mm-hmm. Signing sessions to
promote
the books.
Yeah.
So I think six months of the year, I can do that. I'm mm-hmm. thinking about that. Maybe,
you should. You should come to Thailand.
Yes.
Come to Thailand.
Yes.
You're going to love it.
Yeah, who knows? But I need to... I can't like only travel for fun, because I need to sit and write. Mm-hmm. I have a writer friend that she said that the secret to write is, in Portuguese, is a... I forget what the name she used. It's like bunda na cadeira.
Oh, okay. So you have to sit, you have to put your ass on the chair.
Yes. It's like that.
Yeah.
And write. You need to sit there and don't be distracted for anything. You need to have your time to write. Because since we write from home, we tend to distract, like, oh, that's this program, that this show in the television, I need to watch this. Mm-hmm. Or, oh, I want to cook this, I want to eat this. You get distracted easily.
Yeah.
Than work from an office or everything. But uh-huh. that's something I would like to do right from other countries.
So which countries haven't you been that you would like to visit?
I always want to come back to the places I like. I don't know. I didn't went to Spain.
You've never been to Spain?
No.
Oh, my God. You have to go there. It's one of my
favorites.
Greece.
Yes, I wanted to go there too. Let me see.
Actually, you're okay. So, how many languages has your book been translated to, by the way?
I think only Spanish, but Spanish in all Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
I just come back from Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the Guadalajara Book Fair. It was very nice. This year, I went to Portugal. Oh, so it was translated to Portuguese from Portugal. It's different from Brazilian Portuguese.
Oh, yeah. That's a good thing that you explained that, because a lot of people think that it's the same.
No, it's not the same. Yeah, we can communicate to each other, but it has a lot of different words and expressions
mm-hmm.
and pronunciation. And so it was translated to Portugal.
Okay.
To Spain.
Uh-huh.
Spain too. And all Latin America. And now I have two books going to be translated in to Italy.
Italian. Oh.
Italian, yes.
Okay. But you do have it in English, right? You just said that the...
Yes. In English too. But it's only digital.
Okay.
They can't find this in libraries in the United States or anywhere, but only in Apple Store, Kindle Store, Amazon, right? Amazon Store.
Right.
And this.
Oh, yeah. And we were talking about Kindle before we started recording this. And I always ask you, because I travel so much, right? And it's impossible for me to carry books because of the weight. Mm-hmm. So Kindle is a solution for digital nomads like me. And you always tell me that you avoid to publish your book in Portuguese and Kindle and Amazon because of piracy, right? You're afraid of...
Yes, in Brazil, the piracy is very, very high, the levels of piracy. So I see that when a book here is published in digital
format
platforms, yes, it is very, very easy to break the blocks, mm-hmm. and do piracy of this. So that's the reason I didn't allow my books, my Brazilian books to go
digital.
To go this way, yes.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. So just to finish the process of writing, when you finish writing the book, do you ask people, how many people do you ask to actually read the book, and how do you choose those people?
It is the same people that is doing this from the first one. It's my mother. Mm-hmm. She's the first one who reads all the things that I write.
Okay.
My cousin, Elisa.
My sister?
Yes. Uh-huh. And my other cousin, Aninha. Okay. And Cecilia sometimes. So my cousins and my mother. And I read this in out loud.
Uh-huh.
Out loud.
Yes.
To my husband too.
Really? He has the patience to listen?
Yes. He loves it. He prefers that I tell the story to him.
Uh-huh.
He prefers this
That's
way.
So nice.
I think he never read a book of mine. He just listened it.
I did not know this. You never told me this.
Yes, but he is here listening the interview, and he's laughing. But I like this because when I read this in voice
out loud,
I can see things. I can notice things that I didn't notice only reading.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
So I like that he likes this way. So I can.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's amazing. I don't think all the writers in the world will have husbands who will be as patient as Kyuk, right?
Yes, he's very patient.
That's nice. Okay, now, so the whole process of writing from beginning to end, until everybody reads, how long does it take, in average?
3 months.
Oh, really? I thought it was much longer.
No, the first book, I took 8 months to write it. But it was because I wrote it only in my spare time.
Mm-hmm.
But now it is my work. It's my job. So I close my schedule, mm-hmm. my agenda.
Yeah, your schedule.
And only to write. So I enclosurate myself.
you lock yourself up.
Yes, yeah. for about 3 months to write a book. So I took this time to write a book of about 400 pages. When it has less pages, I usually take less time.
Okay. So it's you're writing about what, a book per year?
No. I think about 2 or 3 books a year.
Oh my goodness. So that means that if you take 3 months to write a book, then you would be locked up 6 or 9 months a year.
Yes, but I can't do that. I have the main, the como é que fala isso, principal?
The main
book that I need to. Normally, I have one book that is the most wanted from my readers. Mm-hmm. This is the one I took 3 months, 3 whole months to write. That's the one I give more attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the other ones, it's not a novel. It's like chronicles or poetry or not a very big novel. So these books, I take more time
to write.
I take less time to write. So I do this while I am traveling. I don't like to do that, but sometimes I need to do that to write it more in less time.
Okay. And all the books that you write, are you the one that decides, okay, I'm going to write so many books this year? Or do you have a contract with the publisher that tells you exactly how many books you have to write and how many years and that kind of thing?
No, no. Now I think I'm a level of my career that I can decide it. Now I said, okay, I will write a book. I don't want to have a deadline, but always I said it, but then I put a deadline for me, and then I always reach this deadline, and I need to have more time. I like to have deadlines because of it, because if I don't have a deadline, I'm avoiding this, and I'm putting things in front of it. So if I have a deadline, I have this
commitment.
I put commitment and pressure to write this in the time. So I normally said to the publishers, okay, I will write this book this year. I don't know when I will finish, but you can put this in your schedule that we will publish this year.
Okay.
So I decide when I'm going to publish it.
Okay. Nice. Now, since you mentioned the deadline, you know, what else do you do to help you have performance, to help you you produce more work? Do you have like a morning routine or something that you eat?
I prefer to write at night and at dawn. Dawn, like after midnight. Okay. I think it's when I get more inspired. But as I said, I can't. Today, this is my job. So I can't do this all the time now, because sometimes I have an interview or I have to go to a school to make a palestra.
A speech, a lecture.
A speech, yes. So now what I like to do is when I woke up in the morning. Usually I woke up at 9 o'clock when I can, and I review what I did last night. So I review this, and then I start to write again in the afternoon. And then when I have ideas, I let it flow. Yeah, I let it flow, and then I go all over the night until I finish this. The chapter or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I sleep, and then in the other day I wake up and start to review and everything.
What about your other habits? Because one of the things, as a career coach with my clients, I'm always trying to help them increase maximum performance. So as you know, I'm very involved with meditation now. I've been meditating every day, and I can see a lot of difference in my performance because of meditation and physical exercise and that kind of thing. Is there anything special that you do to make you feel, you know, better with your body and more alert?
Well, normally I love to listen to music. When I'm writing, I forgot to say it. Oh. I'm always listening to music while I'm writing. I put songs that help me to construct the scenery.
The setting. Okay.
Of the thing I'm writing. For example, when I'm writing a sad part of the book, I put a sad song.
Oh.
To help me
get in the mood.
Get in the mood, exactly.
Okay.
When I need to write a happy scene, I put happy songs. Or when I need to write a romantic part, I put love songs. And I use songs to help me write.
Okay.
But normally I think they're things that I call brain food. Because you need to give food to your brain. So I'm always watching series, watching movies. I think everything give you, maybe unconsciously. Mm-hmm. That's right?
Yes.
That's right?
Yes, unconsciously.
Unconsciously. It gives you ideas. It gives you inspiration to write your own stories.
Okay.
So and traveling, that's the thing I like the most is traveling. When I travel, I'm always with a notebook, not a notebook computer, but blocking.
Okay. A pad. Yeah, a little pad.
Pad. Yes, and a pen. So I'm always having ideas, and I'm writing to remember after the trip.
Okay.
The places I have most part of my ideas is traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So, sometime I saw a writer saying that, and I observed it's a right thing. When I'm in the water or doing something with the water, I have ideas too. So sometimes I need to desenrolar, como eu falo isso, resolver, to solve a part of my story that is kind of stuck. Yes. Then I will have a bath or I will take a shower. And then I think sometimes this help me to find a solution.
Nice. Now you mentioned the music, that you like to listen to music while you write. And I know that you have, I don't know if you still have the habit of connecting the chapters of your book to different parts of films that connect to that chapter, right?
Yes.
Is that something that...
It was an idea that I have when I was in my first novel, because the main character, she's a movie passionate.
Yes.
She loves movies. She wants to be a filmmaker. I was in the middle of the book, and I wake up in the middle of one night thinking that I was not using this passion of her so much as I could.
Mm-hmm.
So I had this idea to relate the chapters to quotes of the movies she likes the most. So I started to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, very nice. It was, I think it gave a sparkling to the story. I think different to the story. And then I did this to all my books.
Mm-hmm.
To Fazendo Meu Filme books.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm in my second series.
So Fazendo Meu Filmes, for those who don't know, is the first one. And you have three books.
Four.
In the first one, right?
Yes. Now I'm in the third book of my second series.
Mm-hmm.
That is Minha Vida Fora de Série, the name.
Okay.
It's like my life out of series.
So how many books total have you written?
Total 15.
15. Okay,
but now in this new series, the character, she is crazy about TV shows. So I'm doing the same thing that I did in Fazendo Meu Filme, but now with series. I take quotes of series quotes.
And,
yes, quotes.
So what's your favorite series right now?
Right now is Pretty Little Liars. It's the one I can't wait to see how it's going to finish.
Now, are these TV series in English or in Brazil?
Yes.
Or are they in? They have just the subtitles in Portuguese.
Yes.
Okay.
And I went to the set of Pretty Little Liars in Warner Bros. In Los Angeles. And it was very, very exciting.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, so is that something that is open for anybody to go? Or is that
Yes. You need to go to the Warner Bros. Tour in Los Angeles. Okay. Where many movies and series and TV shows are
recorded,
filmed, yes. Uh-huh. And then you can go to the setting.
I just remember, just like you used to go to watch Xuxa when you were a teenager, right?
Yes.
No, I was watching TV one day and I saw William Bonner's wife. What's her name? I forgot. She has
Fátima Bernardes.
Yes, and I saw her telling you that her daughters are her fan, your fans, and I remember when we were teenagers, we were like 11, 10 or 11, and your father used to take us to the door of five-star hotels to get autographs of RPM, Ultraje, Guilherme Arantes. And then now the kids of these, famous people from when we were young are your fans, right?
Uh-huh.
How does that feel? How does that? That's probably so strange, isn't it?
Yes, it's not strange, but it's nice because now I'm in the other side. Uh-huh. So I can imagine what my readers, my fans are feeling. Because until the other day, I was there. I was the one who was screaming for someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I always trying to meet them and talk to them because I know what it means mm-hmm. for someone who has an idol.
Yeah. And each signing that you do, you stay, 6 hours signing, giving autographs?
Yes, kind of. It depends of the time we have because sometimes the library put...
The bookstore?
Yeah, the bookstore, sorry. Mm-hmm. The bookstore give us a time to finish it. Mm-hmm. So we need to... We give senhas, como que fala isso?
Yeah, you give out... actually, I don't know, but like numbers, right?
Yes, numbers, yes. I usually take 1 hour to sign 100 books.
Okay.
So if we have 400 books, I will take 4 hours. So the bookstores decide how many books it will be.
How many of these signings do you do per year?
Many. I don't know.
Do you
maybe
have any
40
idea?
40 or 50, yes.
Oh my God. It's almost like two months of your year. You're traveling.
Yes. That's it. Uh-huh.
You're traveling.
When I write a book, I always make a tour in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to south, to north, traveling, signing books.
Mm-hmm. So the next country is Italy?
Italy, yes.
Okay.
And I was in Bologna Book Fair last year. Mm-hmm. And it was very nice. I didn't have yet books published there. Maybe in the next book fair I will. So I'm very excited about that.
So, yeah, I was going to ask you, like, what's your next big project?
Well, I will start... Say.
No, I remember you told me something about a film.
Oh, yes. The Fazendo Meu Filme, né, my first model, is... I sold the rights of it to movies.
Mm-hmm.
And is in the pre-production. It's not... We don't have yet when it's going to...
To be ready.
To be ready.
Uh-huh.
But I'm excited about that. But I confess that I'm not ready to see my characters in person yet.
Oh, really?
Because I have them in my mind.
Uh-huh.
And I know that I couldn't find a person exactly like
them,
né? Funny or Leo or the other characters. So I will try to find. I put in the contract that I will help to decide who is going to be the actors.
Okay.
So, yes, I think next year we will find these persons.
That's interesting. So you can keep your eyes open when you look at Brazilian television to see.
Yes, I'm always looking for.
Okay.
For actors. And
have you ever seen any actor or actress that you thought, okay, this person would match this character?
Yes, but not in Brazil. I have two actors, one actor and one actress that could be Rodrigo and Priscila, the main characters of this new series of mine.
Uh-huh.
But they are Americans.
So you're gonna have to do the film in English, I guess.
Yes, it would be great.
Yeah, when are you planning to do the launching in the States or Canada, you know, or England?
Well, I have an agent.
Mm-hmm.
She's trying to sell my books for America and England.
Mm-hmm.
But she's trying. Let's torcer.
Yeah, promise. let's root. Let's hope
yes,
that she
let's,
does.
Let's so pray. Yeah.
Each country that you start the process, you have a different agent, an independent agent. Is that how
no,
it works?
No, it's the same. It's the same. I have an international agent.
Oh.
She is selling my books.
Okay.
Abroad.
Okay.
Yeah.
In Brazil, how many books have you... Is it true that you've sold 1 million books already?
Yes, I'm reaching this amount. Last time I heard it has
950,000.
Yes, more, a little more.
Okay.
And I think now with the Christmas sellings,
mm-hmm.
I will achieve this amount.
My goodness. Imagine imagine if it was digital on Kindle. Imagine.
Yes.
And this is only in Brazil, right?
Only in Brazil, sure.
Only uh-huh. in Brazil. Jesus
yes.
Christ. So who is the writer that you admire the most in Brazil? And who's the writer that you admire the most abroad?
Okay. In Brazil is Marta Medeiros. She's a writer. She's writes everything like poems, novel, plays, and I like everything that she writes. I think she's my biggest influence to write chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I started to read her chronicles in, I don't know, the 90s years, I saw what I wanted to write. I saw I wanted to write like that.
Okay.
And then I started to write chronicles too.
Mm-hmm.
So she is my favorite writer and biggest influence in Brazil. But for my teenager books, Meg Cabot, she's mm-hmm. American. She is my biggest influence. Because when I read Princess Diaries, I think it's her most famous book.
Mm-hmm.
It's a series. I discovered that my diaries that I wrote in when I was a teenager, I saw that they had lot of stories to tell.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I decided to read my diaries, and I started to write fazendo meu filme about them.
Oh.
So
okay.
So Mac Abbott has a big influence to
the diaries that you're talking about are the journals that you wrote.
The journals, yes.
Since you were a child.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
A child, not a child, but teenager.
Teenager. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you used to love comic books, like Cebolinha, Monica Cebolinha,
yes,
also,
yes.
Right? I remember that. Uh-huh. You had a huge collection of these.
Yes, I still have.
You still have?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness. Jesus.
Maurício de Souza, he is my favorite author when I was a kid,
uh-huh.
For sure. I started to reading because of the comics he wrote.
Is there Mônica Cebolinha in English?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I think so.
I don't.
Maybe.
Yeah, I never seen. Well, I you know, I have to tell people this. I told you this 100 times, but I was so angry because you were always Mônica, and I always wanted to be Mônica, and I had to be Magali. And maybe I think that I have some kind of psychological trauma. That's why I eat so much.
Well, but Magali eats so much and didn't gain weight.
Well,
so it's a good thing.
Well, yeah, I don't know about that. I'm always having to control so I don't gain weight. But anyway. Okay, now I want to change just a little bit the conversation here because this is a career talk. So do you have a team? Do you have employees or people who work with you, or do you work solo?
Usually I work solo. I have 2 readers that become friends. They help me with my fan pages.
Mm.
They are twins, and they are always updating my fan pages. For example, I put things in my personal Facebook page, and so they share this to me in my fan pages, or when they see news about me,
mm-hmm.
something, interviews, and they put there too. So they're always helping me and trying to help to answer the other readers too, because they know more about me than myself maybe. And then so they help me a lot, but they are not employees. They are just readers, uh-huh. who help me. In return, I gave to them all my books in the first hand.
Okay.
And they are always in my events without need to take the numbers, the sayings.
Yeah, the passwords. Yeah. So you don't even have like an assistant or a virtual assistant or somebody that helps you?
The people in the publishers, they helped me a lot. I think that's the people who helped me with the books and the events and everything. It's my publishers that do that for me.
And I've traveled with you, so I've seen how you are the person who really produces your social media. Your Facebook, are you into Twitter?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So which one do you use the most? Is it Facebook? Because I've seen you use Snapchat and...
Yes, I think Periscope? Snapchat is the... It's what teenagers in Brazil are using the most now. So I'm always connected to my public, to my readers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using a lot of Snapchat now because of them. They made me create a Snapchat account.
Okay.
So I'm using this a lot now. But Instagram, I think, is what I use the most. I put photos on Instagram, and then I share this on Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Instagram is good. That allows us to do this. What's the difference between Periscope and Snapchat? I'm sorry, but I'm not familiar with Snapchat.
It's kind of the same thing, but Periscope is live. You are doing this and people are seeing at the same time. Snapchat, you recorder. You record. You only have 10 seconds for each
recording
and then
the video.
And then you can put photos too in Snapchat.
Okay.
And then you put, and it stays in your timeline for 24 hours, and then it destroys itself.
Oh, I think Periscope does that too. I think it's 24 hours. So do you also do Periscope?
Not so much. I did it sometimes, but I don't. I'm not used to it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because my readers, my public use Snapchat, and I can't do at the same time the both of them.
Yeah.
So I prefer to use the Snapchat that I reach so much people. I think each video that I post in the Snapchat, it has about 10 million visualizations, 10 views.
10 million? Views?
Ten thousand.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me, but anyway. So social media has a very important participation in your routine, right?
Yes, very much, because I like to talk with my readers, and I think now it's a good time to be an artist, to be a writer, because you don't have more barriers.
Barriers
between you and your public. Because in the past, when, for example, a magazine say something about an artist, how can they agree with this defend? Now you can go in your Twitter or something and say, oh, it's a lie, I didn't say it. You can defend yourself. And for me, it's good because I can have instant return from my readers. I launch a book, and in the other day, I know what the readers think about that.
Yeah.
Think about it.
That's really nice.
Yeah, and they can ask me all that they wanted to know. For example, they always wanted to know about the characters. Who is going to be with who? If it's going to be a happy ending and everything.
That's nice.
Now, when the book will be published, the next book.
And, you know that I'm a digital nomad, right? What do you think about this? You know, because one of the things that I want to do in this podcast is interview other people who have digital careers, because a lot of people have been hiring me to help them create a digital version of what they do, because they're tired of working in an office from 9 in the morning until 6 p.m., or they're tired of having only 1 month of vacation, and they're not writers like you. And if they don't have the freedom that you have, a lot of times they're depressed and they're sad. So what do you think? What do you think about this new tribe, this new revolution that's happening, where people can create an online work and travel the world as long as they want? Because you told me one day, you said, Nana, you're crazy. I think you're going crazy. Right?
Yes.
So do you really think that people who do this that I'm doing are crazy? How do you feel about this new?
No, I think they are people who is following their happiness as you. But I think not everyone can do that, because sometimes they depend of their employees.
Their jobs.
I think it's a good thing, because normally you can do whatever you do from your house, because now we have internet, computers, and we can now, like me, I can write from everywhere. And most of people can do that. People who work
who works in offices can do that too.
Yeah, the softwares that they have today allow people to work remotely, right?
Yes, but I think it's a very new for everyone, so it can scare people, the bosses.
Mm-hmm.
How can I say, the chefs?
Yeah, they're bosses.
The owners, the owners of the empresas.
The companies.
The companies.
Yeah, you know that when I lived in Canada, I heard from many of my Canadian friends that I think probably 50% already of professionals in Canada have the freedom to work remotely. They have to go in the office maybe once a week for meetings, things like that. And for the mothers, for example, for women, it's much easier to raise their kids and to have time for their kids. But in Brazil, I never see this, right? We don't. The companies in Brazil are so behind in that kind of culture.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, they are.
Yeah.
They are.
Hmm. So.
Yeah, I think they should start letting people trying to do this to see how it goes.
Yeah. So 5 years from now, what's the perfect future for Paula Pimenta?
The perfect future, right? I think I want to have a house or a flat in Orlando, because it's the place I most like in the world. So I would like to go there wherever I want to take a plane.
Yeah.
And go there.
That's
and
nice.
Stay there and have my house there. Yeah, I would like to live there, for example, 6 months a year.
Oh my God, that's great.
Yes. And I don't know. I think I would like to have more books, more inspiration to keep writing. I actually doing right now what I like the most. I like to write. I like to travel. That's things I'm always doing. So if I can keep like that with more readers, more countries knowing my books, I think it will be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great. I think it's good because then when I have my kids, I can just send them to your house in Orlando and they can stay there on vacation.
Yes, yes, good.
Go to Paulinha's house now for a month. Yeah. okay, well, they say that we should surround ourselves with the people who inspire us the most. So do you believe that? Do you have certain people that you're always trying to be around? Who would these people be in your life?
I like to be around other writers because I'm always learning from them, from their experience and from their writing process. Always when I talk to writers, I think I have a new tip. Mm-hmm. To try to use.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it. I think it's the writers, okay. The other writers.
Writers who also write for teenagers, you mean?
All the kind of writers.
Okay.
For example, I talk a lot because I go to a lot of book fairs. So I'm always having this kind of contact with other writers.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, I met a boy who write for kids. And I was watching his speech and I learned from his process. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily for teenagers, the writer from the same public of mine.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And the books that you usually read, are they? Do you like to read different kinds of books or do you normally like to read novels?
I like to read novels. I used to say that I think we should write the same type of book we like to read.
Mm-hmm.
Because because you will spend a lot of time with your books, so you need to like it. You because the readers feel the passion mm-hmm. that you put in the pages.
Yeah.
So that's it. I think you should write. I like to read novels, so I write novels.
Mm-hmm.
And romantic novels.
Okay.
And teenager books. I love to read teenager books.
Mm-hmm. Do you normally read books in Portuguese, or do you have the habit of reading also in English?
I read in English too.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I'm so curious about a book, and I can't wait to be published, translated. Yes.
Okay.
I read Harry Potter, for example. I read everything in English because I couldn't wait.
Okay. Interesting. You know that I've been researching about the power, the therapeutical power of writing. And I've been uh-huh. recommending my coaching clients to write, to journal every day or at least 3 or 4 times a week. And it helps people make decisions, difficult decisions in their lives. Have you ever heard of this?
Say it again.
Like, instead of going to a therapist, or not instead, but like also, you should take at least maybe 30 minutes of your day, especially in the morning, they say, to write. And then you have clarity on the decisions that you want to make. And
well, I think it depends on the people. Because me, for example, I used to say that I think better writing.
Mm-hmm.
Eu penso por escrito.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for me, I always clarify my mind writing. Mm. I always, for example, I know the base. I know what I wanted to write, but it's writing that the ideas flow, that mm-hmm. I get more inspiring. So I think if people like to write, I think it could be a good thing. But some people don't like to write, doesn't like to write.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends, person by person.
Yeah, but me, for example, I never really wrote. You know, while you were writing, I was in Minas and going to the club and, you know, having my boyfriends and everything. And now, as an adult, I discovered that I really like writing. I started it because I read some neuroscientists talking about the power of writing in terms of making decisions. And because I have to help people make decisions about their careers, I wanted to test it. I discovered that I love it. So,
oh, good.
Yeah. So two things that I always recommend people do. One is meditation. At least 5-10 minutes a day, close their eyes. Have you ever meditated?
No.
You should try it.
Uh-huh.
You should definitely try it. You and Kiko. Put you and Kiko, tell Kiko in the morning, put the
Kiko
alarm.
Kiko did it. Kiko went to a... Remember, he told you about that. He went to a...
Meditation?
Retiro.
Retreat?
Yes, a retreat. And he couldn't stand to stay there all the days. he ran away.
Yeah, that's right. He told me. You guys should come to Thailand and do a silence retreat with me. I discovered that you don't have to do it for 10 days. We have 3-day silence retreat, 7-day silence retreat. You can choose.
Uh-huh. Okay.
No, thank you, right?
Not for now. Maybe someday.
Okay, so just 2 things here before we finish, and I'll let you go because I know you're really busy. What advice would you give, you know, your teenage self, like when you were a teenager, if you could give yourself an advice today, what would that advice be?
I think I will tell her to not worry so much, because all the things will be good at the end. Mm-hmm. And to don't lose so much time thinking what people are thinking. Instead of that, do take this time to improve her self-esteem. Because now I know that the secret is to have a good self-esteem. Mm-hmm. When we like ourselves, people like us too. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's
so
nice.
I think I think I would say to her to do whatever it takes to like her mm-hmm. more.
Okay, great. So now the last thing I want to ask you for something. I put on my Facebook this morning that I was going to interview you, and I already probably received like 5 messages in my inbox of people asking me, oh, please, can you ask her for a book? Oh, please give me this, give me that. So I wanted to ask you, like, whenever this interview goes public, could you maybe gift the first person something like that with a book autographed?
Yeah, sure.
How do you think we should this? Like, after I publish this, the first person who comments or something, how you're more experienced than I am. How do you suggest we do this?
But it is a book that already is published, or a new one?
What do you think? You can choose.
Yeah, because I think only I think it will take months to the new one. So I think it's a book published is more...
It's better.
Easy. Yeah, it's better to send. Well, I think this, the first... But if we announce this, the first one, everyone will... I think maybe it's a surprise, no? If the one who make it for a surprise.
Yeah. No. Only after they listen to this and they listen until the end of our interview, they will know.
Ah, good.
Yeah.
And then they say, oh, I heard that.
Yeah.
I can. Oh, good. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. And then they're going to say, oh, I want it. I heard and I want it. I'm the person who wants to get it. I'm the first person.
Oh, good. Good. Right? We can do that like that. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I think it should be good. Great.
Great. And the other thing, in the future, I'm going to ask people, like, if they have any questions that they want to ask you, because I want to try to inspire, you know, Brazilians to speak more English, can we, in the future, when you have more time, record a Q&A, like maybe a 20, 30-minute Q&A where you can answer questions that they send in English?
Sure, we can do that.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Paulinha. Okay, so who is listening this? If you listen to here, you can put a comment on the Facebook saying, "Oh, I listened until the end. I'm the first one."
And they can choose the book they want.
No. No, because I don't have all the books.
So which ones do you have?
It will be the last one, because it depends if it will be an English person, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It will need to be the Shooting My Life script.
Yeah, that's true. But based on
I think that we can talk with the person if I have the book that they want.
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk to see which book they want. If I have, okay. But if I don't have this book, we need to... The person will need to choose another book.
Okay, great. Okay. That's fair. So for those who are listening and who want to read the interview in Portuguese, they can go to my website, which is www.maxicareercoaching.com, and they will find the interview in Portuguese and in English, audio, only in English, of course, but written in Portuguese and English also.
Okay.
Paulinha, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. If people want to visit my website, it's paulapimenta.com.
Yeah, I was going to ask you this. How can they find you? Is it if they send you a tweet, do you normally reply? Do you have time for this?
Yes, when I have time, I reply.
Okay, so the best way to find you is your website or your Twitter?
Yeah, and all my social networks, I try to talk to readers there. Mm-hmm. So I think Twitter, I always talking to readers, and Instagram too, and Facebook, everything. Mm-hmm. In my website, they can find all my social network.
Okay. Okay. So have fun. Thank you so much for your time. Send Kiko a big kiss. And I'll see you in the end of May in Brazil.
Okay.
If you decide to come visit me in Thailand, just tell me.
Okay, let you know.
Okay. Beijo.
Beijo.
This podcast is brought to you by MaxiCareerCoaching.com, where you can download the transcript of this interview and subscribe to our free courses and newsletters. We'd love to hear from you and to know about your exciting career story. Be sure to tune in again for our next episode of Exciting Careers Podcast.